Welcome to Eastside Baptist Church. Thank you for joining us today. We hope that the Lord speaks to you through this message. If you have any ways that we could minister to you or any prayer requests, please contact us at ebckro@gmail.com or 229-377-4154. Now let's tune into the message.
Glad you're here this morning. Turn with me in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. If you're visiting with us or you haven't been with us in a while, we are coming to the end of our time in Galatians. And a couple of things I want to say about that is this has been a fruitful time for me. Lord's used his word in my life, and I hope he's used it in yours as we've walked through this book together. And two, if you haven't been with us, that's okay. You can pick up right where we are this morning. I know many of us have come to worship this morning with a lot of different things on our hearts and a lot of different things on our minds, perhaps burdens that you're carrying this morning. And so I just want us to approach the throne together, ask the Lord to speak to us, to convict us where we need conviction, to lift up our heads where we need encouragement. Will you pray with me? Father, first and foremost, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you that though we were weak, sinners, acting as your enemies, Lord, you sent your Son to die on the cross on our behalf, to live the life we should have, die the death we should have, and then conquer death that we might have life. God, we thank you for the sacrifice of Jesus. We thank you for the life of Jesus. We thank you for the resurrection of Jesus. And Lord, it is you we come here to worship this morning. It is you we come here to seek together this morning. And so, Lord, we pray that you would move among us in a way that only you can. Those of us who know you personally, Lord, I pray that you would continue to make us more like you, convict us of our sin, lead us to not only be hearers of the word this morning, but doers of the word. Lord, we know that some may be here this morning that don't know you personally. They know you, about you. They've heard of Jesus. But Lord, they haven't surrendered their life to you. So Lord, we pray that you would convict them of their sin and your righteousness. We pray for new life for them in you. God, work among us. Set our minds on things above, especially for the next few minutes, Lord. In your holy name we pray, Jesus. Amen. So something we've said the past couple of weeks is that the letter of Galatians to the churches in Galatia was written by Paul to Christians, to the church, to those who claim to follow Christ. And so we are at a point in Galatians where he is applying the things that he's taught us, inspired by the Holy Spirit, the things that he's taught us. He's applying them now to our lives and teaching us how to walk and keep in step with his Spirit, with this Holy Spirit. And so something I've asked past couple weeks and have said is that those who are Christians, who are part of the church biblically, are those who have believed in the truth of Jesus' life, his death, and resurrection. In the last couple of weeks, I've asked you this question. Do you believe that? If you're a Christ follower, you believe in his life, his death, and resurrection. The second thing we've said the last couple of weeks is this, that those who are Christians not only believe in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, but they've repented of their sins, turning to him as their Lord. So that's the second question. Have you turn to him, repented of your sins, turn to him as your Lord, surrendering your life to him? If you have, That's all he calls you to do. Well, not to do, that's all he calls you to, is faith. Faith that what he did in his life, death, and resurrection is enough. Faith that his death, his resurrection, he will, can, and does save. The Christian has simply placed faith in Jesus. So if you're here this morning and that's you, these words are for you. If you're here this morning and that's not you, you either have not believed in his life, death, and resurrection, you think it's not truth, it didn't really happen, or you believe it, but you haven't surrendered your life to him, you haven't repented of your sins, then I want you to hear these words this morning from Scripture, but know these are for the Christians, and know that the call to you this morning isn't to behave, but it is to place faith in Jesus. It's to place faith in Jesus. That's it. You ready to get in the Word this morning? Galatians chapter 6, we're going to look at verses 10 through 6. Yes, but not in that order. 6 through 10. Follow along with me in your own copy of God's Word. Let the one who is taught the Word share all good things with the one who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. Three pieces of truth we're going to pull out of this passage this morning. The first piece of truth is this. The Christian, the Christ follower, the believer, the one who has believed in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus and repented of their sin, the Christian is called to a particular labor of sowing. Look at verse 7. Inspired by the Holy Spirit, Paul said, don't be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that he will also reap. Then in verse 9, he says, and let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. It's a particular labor, a particular work of sowing that the Lord has called the Christian to. You think about the image he's given us here, the image of a farmer. Sowing, planting the seed, doing the work of preparing the field and keeping the field as the seeds grow, and waiting until the harvest is brought to light and he can reap. And the work of a farmer is filled with long days, right? Some of you know that personally. Many of you farm. Many of you have your own garden. So the work of the farmer is filled with long days, many times short nights, sun up to sundown. They're at the complete mercy of the weather. It is a physical labor. It is a mental labor. I heard two men talking about the other day. They were talking about when to plant and what to plant when. And they were having a disagreement. One was wanting to go by the Farmer's Almanac, and the other one was like, no, you just do it when the moon's doing this, and you plant it on that day. It's not just a physical labor. The farmer must know, right? He's got to have, it is a mental labor. He's got to study up, know what he's doing, when he's doing it, and how he's doing it. And it's a labor that never stops. You prepare the field, you work it, you plant the seeds, you watch over it, you make sure it's taken care of, and you do the work of waiting and working. And then the harvest comes, and you work, and it starts all over, right? It never stops. A physical labor, a mental labor, that never stops. For some of us, it may be able to may be easier to think of the work of a teacher. The work of a teacher that is filled with long days and short nights. Some of you know that from personal experience. Long days, short nights, not at the complete mercy of the weather, though sometimes a teacher is at the mercy of the weather, can't take the kids outside, so they just go nuts inside, right? At the complete mercy of a children's behavior, their health, their circumstances that may lead to good behavior or bad behavior on that particular day or week or year. And the work of a teacher is physical labor, and it is sowing seeds of knowledge into children and teenagers. Physical labor is a mental labor that never stops. It goes and it goes and goes. You get one harvest and the next starts. Some of you know that well, don't you? And Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, reminds us in these short verses right here that the work of a Christian is that. It's labor. It's physical. It's mental. It's all the different things. And it never stops. It's the work of sowing, just like a farmer. It's the work of sowing, just like a teacher. And in keeping in step with the Spirit, we as the church, as individual Christians, are called to the particular work of sowing. And two things before we go any further into this passage that I want us to see. First, sowing is work. It's tiring. It never stops. For the Christian, the work of sowing that the Lord calls us to is mentally, emotionally, at times physically, spiritually taxing labor. If we're unsure about that, read through the Gospels and watch Jesus' life. It was work. It was rewarding work. It was Spirit-empowered work. But it was work. It was labor. It was sowing. That's why in verse 9 he says, "Let us not grow weary of doing good." And in verse 10, in verse 9 again he says, "For in due season," he's reminding us, that not only is it work, but the work brings a harvest. We will reap what we sow. Sowing brings a harvest in due season. So we see that sowing, the work that the Lord has called us to as Christians, as the church, as Christians together, the sowing he's called us to is a labor. It is work. That's why he's using the imagery of a farmer here. But along with that imagery of work, there is a harvest coming. There is a promise coming. The farmer knows that in due season, the crop will come. So he keeps working. The teacher knows that in due season, that child will bear fruit. May not be why he or she is in her classroom, but they will watch that child, and in due season, the time and the hours they have poured into that child will bear fruit. So we're reminded that it's work, but it is a work worth our time. So let me encourage you this morning, Christian. Perhaps you're tired of the work that the Lord's called you to. Perhaps you're weary of investing and investing and investing in something that seems like it will never bring any kind of fruit. But you know that it's the work that the Lord has called you to. Don't give up. Know that your labor is in line with God's word, and your labor will bring a harvest. And so keep going. Keep working. We are called to a strenuous, constant, draining, and particular kind of labor, the work of sowing. And we know that as Christians, as we've already seen in the book of Galatians, we don't do that by our own strength, but we do that by the power of God in us, His Spirit working in and through us. So I want us to think further later on, further through how that applies to us. But before we do, I want us to see a couple more things here in this passage. You with me? Okay. So Our next truth piece is this. The Christian is not only called to the particular labor of sowing, but the Christian is called to sow, and I believe this word is missing in your note guides if you're a note taker. The Christian is called to sow in a particular field. So we don't just do any kind of sowing, just like the farmer doesn't do just any kind of sowing. We have sowing that we do in a particular field, and I'll show you what I mean. Look at verse 7. Verse 7 says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that he will also reap." The reason Paul is saying that, he says, God is not mocked. In other words, we don't turn our nose up to God as if he doesn't know the things that are in our hearts and minds and the work that we're doing and what we are sowing into. He knows. God is not mocked. He has an expectation for our labor of sowing, an expectation that we sow in a particular field. So you can think of it this way. The farmer doesn't sow pebbles into the field he's plowed. He sows a particular kind of seed, right? If he wants to grow corn, that's what he plants. If he wants to grow tomatoes, that's what he plants. If he wants to grow peanuts, that's what he plants. So he sows with the harvest in mind. The teacher doesn't gather her students or his students into the classroom for 6 or 7 hours a day to teach them how to play Xbox One. And the lesson plan leads them to the next day learning how to play PlayStation 4. Because they have a particular field that they're sowing into. For the teacher in the school system, it is the field of knowledge. It is the field of those children's mind and life on even a bigger scale. And the Christian is called to a particular field as well. Look at verse 8. "For the one who sows to his flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life." So, two fields. Our own flesh and the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. John MacArthur says this. He says, "The Christian has only two fields in which he can sow, that of his own flesh and that of his spirit." And church, we are called to sow in the particular field of the Spirit. The idea of sowing in the flesh leads to corruption. The idea is communicated here in the text of decay, destruction, even the process of a dead corpse in the midst of decay, in the process of decomposition. Not a good picture. Not a good smell. And in his word, God communicates that that's what sowing into our own flesh leads to. Now and in eternity. So what we find is when someone sows into their own flesh what they want, what they think they need, and they follow their own set of guidelines for life and not the Lord's, what we find is their life now will result in the stench of corruption. And I'll talk about more about that in a second. If someone sows to the Spirit of God in obedience with Him and in accordance with His Word, what we find is that their life is characterized by joy. What we could say is their life is characterized now by eternal life. Their joy of fellowship with God, their joy of fellowship with other people in the church, and not by the stench of death and corruption. So think about it this way. I want to give you a couple of things to think about here. John Stott, he says it better than I could, so I'm just going to tell you what he said. He says this about this passage. He says, "Sow a thought," and some of you have heard this, "sow a thought, reap an act. Sow an act, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a character. Sow a character, reap a destiny." He puts into real simple words what the text is communicating to us here. We have two fields to sow in as Christians. one of our own flesh or that of the Spirit. And God has called us to sow into the Spirit. And our work of sowing to the Spirit begins with our thoughts. So I want to give you three examples to think about this morning. First, a woman that struggles with anger. Think about this. She dwells on the actions or words of the person that has made her angry. She begins to sow to the flesh, dwelling on those things. She then gossips about that person, sowing to the flesh. She then begins formulating in her own mind and maybe in those gossiping conversations, her response to that person, sowing to the flesh. Then the opportunity comes and she blows up with her response, sowing to the flesh. And what she finds is she will then begin to reap what she has sown. Broken relationships. In the work environment, perhaps loss of a job or detrimental effects there. A broken witness for the kingdom. Her life, her character, her attitude and actions are filled with the stench of what she has sown to her own flesh. And it's the opposite of life. You can think of what might have happened instead if she had sown to the Spirit instead of the flesh. She begins to dwell on the actions of that person that has made her angry and what they did and said. And she begins to pray for them. She begins to sow to the Spirit and said. She goes to a friend and says, I'm really struggling with this person. Will you pray for me and them in our relationship? She sows to the Spirit. And what we find through that sowing to the Spirit is that her life, instead of filled with bitterness and rage and anger and ugly words and broken relationships, her life is characterized by the eternal life of her Lord. Victory over those things. Strength in Jesus. Joy in those relationships in spite of the hardship. Another example I want you to think about. A man who struggles with lust. He dwells on his lustful thoughts, images he's seen, and he's sowing to the flesh. Those images and thoughts turn into fantasies. He contemplates how he might entertain those fantasies, sowing to the flesh. He begins viewing images on his phone or computer on the TV. Reading things he shouldn't read to entertain those fantasies, sowing to the flesh. He begins watching shows with explicit content while at the same time trying to justify why those shows are okay to watch, sowing to the flesh. And what he finds is after time, his relationship with his wife is strained. He begins seeing every woman in his life as an object, not a person. He has the inability to stop viewing these things. It's now an addiction. His days are consumed with waiting on the next opportunity to feed his addiction. And he finds himself reaping what he has sown. His life is filled with the stench of corruption and death. His days are filled with dwelling and waiting to fulfill lustful longings. It's the opposite of life. It's chains. And we do know, as Brother Gary said, there's hope in the midst of those battles. So think about this for a second. The same man, he begins on dwelling on images that he's come across, which those are easy to come across in today's world. And instead of dwelling on those things, he begins to confess and ask the Lord to give him strength not to dwell on those things. He seeks out a trusted Christian friend and says, look, I've seen these things. They're in my mind. I'm struggling thinking about those things. Please pray for me. And he sows to the Spirit instead of to the flesh. And his life is characterized and said by eternal life of Jesus, victory over that, strength of Jesus, joy of that victory over those things, tasting and seeing that the Lord is better than those things. Eternal life here and now and in the future for eternity. One more, just bear with me, one more. I just want to give you some concrete things about the way to think about how this applies to our lives. A man who struggles with worry. And I bet out of anger and lust, if I was to take a poll, including myself this morning, I bet more hands would raise when it comes to worry and anxiety today. So I want you to think about this. Man who struggles with worry, he dwells on thoughts of the worst case scenario. Just thinking over and over again, what may happen? What would be the worst? Sowing to the flesh. He begins planning for the worst case scenario. What am I going to do when this happens? It's no longer a possibility in his mind, it's a fact. He begins to plan for the worst case scenario, sowing to the flesh. He becomes convinced that only the worst case scenario will happen. Only bad will arise out of this situation. Sowing to the flesh, he forgets in the midst of this planning and dwelling on these worst case scenarios and worry and anxiety, he forgets God's love for him. He forgets God's goodness to him. He forgets God's sovereignty and complete control. He forgets that God uses all things for the good of those who love him. He forgets all those things as he's sowing to the flesh. And he begins to reap what he's sown. He is consumed with doubt about who God is. He is consumed with negative emotions. He is consumed and brings down and discourages all those around him. He has no hope about anything, particularly whatever situation he's worried about. And his life, his attitude, his emotions, his words, and his thoughts are filled with what he's sown. And it's the opposite of life. The same way that lust has captured one man, worry has captured another. It's chains. And it's not life. Not the life that the Lord's called us to. We could think of this instead. He begins to dwell on the worst case scenario. Many of you have been there. You get health news and you go, this is what could happen. And you're tempted to go further and further down that road. He dwells on the worst case scenario. Instead, he begins to confess and ask the Lord for strength to trust him in the midst of this storm. He seeks out a trusted friend. He says, I'm struggling with doubt about God's love for me, his goodness, his ability to deliver me from this. Please pray for me. And he's not sowing to the flesh, but he's sowing to the Spirit, isn't he? And even in the midst of a storm, he's experiencing the eternal life that Jesus has promised us, life that is characterized by victory in Jesus over doubt, strength of Jesus in the midst of a storm, fellowship with Jesus in the midst of suffering, freedom from fear in the face of suffering and even death. Eternal life here and now and to come. Are you sowing to the flesh? Are you sowing to the Spirit? He's called us to the particular work of sowing, which is tiring. He's called us to the particular field of sowing to his Spirit. And in that, he's promised us a harvest. And he's promised us that whether we sow in the field of the flesh or the field of the spirit, that we will reap what we sow. The last truth piece is this, and quickly, the Christian is called to sow in a particular way. We've seen this already in the examples that we looked at this morning, but we sow first in our own hearts. We sow the Word of God into our own hearts. We find very quickly that if we sow knowledge of other things, like the man who struggles with lust, if he sows that into his mind, he's going to put that out. That is the harvest he's going to reap. If we sow God's Word into our hearts and our minds, that is what we will reap. That is where our first field is, our heart. But we're also called to sow into one another. Look at verse 6. This is an example of this. Let the one who is taught the Word share all good things with the one who teaches. This is an example of the local church supporting and providing for the teacher, the preacher, the pastor, and how thankful I am that you do that for me, that you sow into me and my family in that way. But we also see in verse 10, look at it. It says, "So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, especially to those who are of the household of faith, the family of faith." So for us, that means one another here at Eastside. We are called to sow to the Spirit into those, everyone we are called to, but especially into one another. One example of that is burden bearing. One example of that is when someone is growing weary of sowing to the Spirit in the situation they are in, we come along beside them and pray for them. We sow to the Spirit in our own hearts by investing the Word of God into our own hearts. We sow to the Spirit in the hearts of others by setting an example and serving them. We persevere as we sow into our own hearts, and we persevere as we sow into the hearts of others. As I said at the beginning of this morning, this is a promise to God's people. If you haven't placed faith in the life and death and resurrection of Jesus and who he is and repented of your sins, the call to you this morning is simple. It's just to believe in his life, death, and resurrection and repent of your sin and turn to him. If that's you, the call is to do that. Follow the Holy Spirit and respond. If you're a Christian here this morning, a couple of ways I want you to think. Some of you I know are in the midst of a battle. You're tempted every day to either sow to the flesh in the midst of that battle or sow to the Spirit. And you've been in that battle for a while and you're tired. You want to buy into the doubt and you want to buy into the bitterness and you want to buy into the anger. And you're tired of sowing to the Spirit. I want to invite you this morning. You don't have to. You may not be comfortable doing this, but I want to invite you this morning to come and pray and allow your brothers and sisters in Christ to bear that burden with you. If you see somebody come and pray, would you gather around them and pray for them? And pray that the Lord would give them strength, not to sow to the flesh in the situation they're in, but to sow to the Spirit. For the glory of God and their good. Some of you are in the midst of reaping what you have sown. And you don't know what to do. The Lord is convicting you about it, but you don't know what to do. You believe it's too late. And I just want to say to you, it's not. His grace is sufficient. You can repent this morning and come to your Father. And just be bathed in the mercy and grace of Jesus. Perhaps you need prayer too. Perhaps you don't know the Lord and you just need to give your life to the Lord. Perhaps you're in a position where you can pray for those who need prayer this morning. However the Lord is leading you to respond. Follow his Spirit and respond this morning. Let's pray. Father, we love you. God, we thank you that you haven't just called us to the work of sowing, but you have given us your Spirit to do that. You have promised us not just any harvest, but a good harvest, Lord. Eternal life. Not because of anything we've done or anything we will do, but all because of Jesus. Lord, we pray that you would work in the lives of those who don't know you, that you convict them of their sin and your righteousness. God, we pray that you work in the lives of those of us who do know you, that you would make us more like you. Do work among us, Father. In your holy name we pray, Jesus. Amen.
I have peace.
Hello, my name is Andrew Donaldson, and I am the pastor here at Eastside Baptist in Cairo, and I want to thank you for taking time to study God's Word with us. If the Lord is working in your life and you have questions about anything you have heard, or you have questions about what it means to trust and follow Jesus, we want to connect with you and pray for you, and walk with you through God's Word to answer your questions. The best way to do that is by clicking on the contact link at the top of our webpage. There you will find our phone number, 229-377-4154, and our email address, ebccairo@gmail.com. Thanks again, and we hope you have a wonderful day.
Sing it with me.